don't know how I got that work.
Is it just the music? Is just...
Oh, do I... No, I didn't know we were coming to
intro, This week's episode, we've travelled to the heart of East Cork. It's the parish of Hahada, and we're talking to Brian and Andrew Fletcher. Andrew is a young musician from down here who has played with the likes of Glenn Hanser, Mundy, Shane McGowan he's met. He's played with many, many more, and we're going to talk to him all about that stuff now.
With his dad, Brian. How are you, Brian?
Not too bad, lads. Thanks for coming.
We're mobile this week, and we've taken over the sitting room. What once was the sitting room in the Fletcher's house, and is now a music room. Andrew, how are you, boy?
What's the crack?
How are you, boy?
Good now, good.
I believe you've listened to the podcast before.
Oh, I say I've all of them listened to it.
Yeah, that's the job.
We'll be waiting on the Monday morning.
We found one of the two listeners.
Yeah. So we just landed into her sitting room and took it over.
Didn't find the other one. It's all honey.
Now, you'll get the gist of the podcast. We haven't done an interview in a while. We took a break from interviews, didn't we, Corky?
We did. Just with Kerry's being busy this week, we kind of...
Don't mind him.
He'll be all right. He's gone away.
I didn't even miss him, to be honest. but he'll probably listen. We probably won't bother. Now, I mentioned some names there at the start, like the likes of Glenn Hansard and Mundy and George Murphy and the likes of these guys. I know I'm missing a few, but if I was to say those names that someone had played with them, you'd expect them to have a long career behind them, but we don't. What age are you now, Andrew?
15.
Still 15 years of age, right? He's played in St. Luke's.
Sorry, we're not allowed to curse.
Live at the Marquee. That's the first. We're literally a minute into recording and Corky's after cursing.
Sorry.
It's all right. If someone like that, that's a fair hit list already for a 15-year-old to play venues like St. Luke's only just this weekend, the Marquee, you know, places like Sea Church. I mean, they're established, well-known music venues, you know, the artists and everything. You're only 15 years of age.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
First of all, tell us, like we used to do with all the guests before, tell us about music growing up. I'm going to say growing up, just growing up. Tell us about music in the house. I know your dad is a lifelong Mickey Joe Hart fan.
I'm waiting for that to come up.
Yeah, 2 minutes in it again. Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Let's play that one in a while, but tell me about music. What were you listening to growing up? Where did the music come from? Is there music in the family? Is there music in the house?
There'd be no one playing anything, but the first memory I have, the father, Brian, he had an old MR2. The MR2, remember, that was
Toyota.
Called... Yeah, that
old
was the,
MR2,
the Iron Maiden machine, we used to call that. We used to go spinning and we'd have the... Iron Maiden, Chili Peppers, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Cycle Fly. Jeez, I loved Cycle Fly when I was younger.
Go away.
Obviously Mundy, the Frames and them all, the Pogues and...
We're talking CDs here now.
CDs. But it would have been a bit of Stone Roses and stuff too, I suppose, and...
That's a good lesson, a baptism of music. Isn't it crazy the way musicians, when you find musicians, and maybe there's no one playing in the house. No, I know you're from a kind of a country blues, a kind of a bluegrass type of folky kind of background.
Yeah.
But the amount of fellas who say, heavy music got me into music. And it got them listening to music and dissecting music, and then when they started playing, they came away from it. And
being in the car with dad or mam or whoever, because in the car, you're trapped. You have to listen. Without even realizing it, you're soaking it in.
You're absorbing it, even if you know it or not. It's funny you mentioned Cycle Fly. On the drive here from Middleton, we passed the homes of, James Walsh from Gorfer Syndrome. Literally less than a minute away, the dads from Cycle Fly were in the up in Upper Hadda, you know, past Conor O'Brien's place, you know. There's a scattering of musicians down here, isn't it?
Decky and Kieran.
In the post office.
Yeah. What's in the water? What's the story?
Isn't it crazy?
It's mental.
I reckon it's from fuck. Singing songs.
And you have Murphy down the road as well.
Dan Murphy passed by Wonder's house on the way.
Great scenic tour, didn't you?
But
that's Google Maps and Henny's phone. It wouldn't happen if it was my
Google
phone.
Google was wrong. That's good. So the music, and when did playing start?
COVID hit, and I suppose we had nothing else to do. And then Rob, the brother, got a guitar. Jeez, he'll be delighted, I'm saying this from. But he got a guitar. And he started playing. And I had nothing else to do, so I came in. And I was like, oh, give me a go off that
Took
thing
it
there.
Off him.
Yeah, so I went on YouTube there for watching Marty Music. Marty Schwartz. And jeez, I'd say I ended up watching him every day of the week.
He's responsible for an awful lot of people playing guitar over COVID.
Yeah.
Like, Marty Schwartz here.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Marty Schwartz here, and welcome to Marty Music, the place where I teach you all things guitar.
Yeah, legend. Absolute legend.
Good impression there.
No, I'm just joking, I never seen him. He couldn't teach me anything anyway.
It was great. We didn't see him all through COVID. Just playing.
Grand.
Playing and learning chords and... Yeah. Learning bits and pieces. Yeah. And what was the first type of stuff you started playing?
Oh, I remember the first riff I ever learned. I got a... What was it? It was an Epiphone Les Paul. It was one of the small ones. The three-quarter size ones. I remember I just got the amp, but now I just threw up the gain all the way. Went up and learned that. Was it TNT?
Right,
you see. On the one string, you know, the 035.
Yeah, sure.
I thought I was Angus Young then. Like,
it's not a bad place to start, if you ask me.
No,
you know?
Not a bad place.
And the thing about the AC/DC stuff, it's great if you're learning, it's great if you're mixed, because it has to be bang on rigid in time. Mm-hmm. Simplistic enough, but it works. Like,
and once your guitar is in tune, if you're learning, you can kind of nearly get it.
They're one of them bands that any fella at home with a guitar can play it and sound like them.
And you want to learn, you want to listen to them more than what else have they got.
Exactly.
They're one of those. You find that then you go on a deep dive of these bands and you go into nearly everything, and you're like, you get a bit put out then by the end of it, because you're like, I'm actually going after listening to everything they've ever done. You go looking for kind of stuff on YouTube that you haven't seen and stuff like that. You know,
exactly.
It's great.
Like, geez, there are some bands there. Like, I hear one song, geez, it's class, and I've the whole album listened to it in an hour. I'm like, oh, that's class, and I've that, and then. But like, geez, there's some of the bands even now I'm getting into. Like, there's some. You know what I mean? You have to go on a deep dive.
So COVID hit. You started practicing. Marty Schwartz on the internet teaching you 12-bar blues progressions and root and fifths and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pentatonic scales, and did it start with online videos, the playing, or did you do a gig, or did you fall in with someone the first time you played in public? When would that have been?
Oh, it was down in the schooner, and might get Dots and the Dude.
Stop, Dots Tobin.
Dots, shout out Dots.
He's not listening. He doesn't have a phone. I don't think he has a computer, but he had one time.
He certainly doesn't have headphones.
Well, but would have been early enough there one night. I remember going down, he brought me down, he was mad to go hear Dots. And he dragged me up with Roger. I'll never forget it. We did
Success
by August Walk.
Success, yeah.
And Disarm.
Disarm with Smashing Pumpkins, yeah.
Class.
And I thought, I've delighted myself. Jeez, delighted. It was class.
You knew then, Dad, you knew then, Brian, that like there was gigs coming, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Didn't realise how quick.
Yeah, they came quick.
Yeah.
Very quick, yeah. Actually,
so the following Saturday, we were out on the road. So you fell in with Dots a few times after that, then, when Dots had come down.
I did. Jeez, a good few times, actually. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Another few people in as well.
Doing Success and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember learning them a good while ago.
You then started kind of falling in with different bands when you'd go to see them, and they'd come to see it. I see you with Flake the Gander and...
One night.
We did it down in Roses, yeah.
Remember that.
We did
You got up with us
Dancing
one
in the Moonlight.
And with August Walk one night in
Wallace's.
Yeah, in Shomra.
That was savage, yeah.
So did you ever find that when you're going, local bands come to down here and you were kind of watching them and you were seeing who's playing what? I think it's a bit like you're going to different restaurants, trying a little bit of food in each restaurant to find out what you like, and then
And
did you gravitate more towards, I've seen with Clake the Gander, there's Irish stuff, and then, you know, the Hotties are doing rock stuff, and Dots is doing the kind of acoustic, grungy stuff. Do you find that as you get older, your taste in music kind of changes and develops?
Oh, definitely. Cause
what did you start? You started out with rock stuff, you said. Well, that was in the car with your dad. That was your dad's taste in music.
I loved all that stuff. I still do. Jeez, when I started playing, you know, you're not going to be playing all Nirvana all the time. You kind of, I suppose, you get used to what people want to hear too.
Nah,
Yeah, I've
been down that road.
Nah.
No, but like, even now that I've playing different, I suppose you enjoy playing different stuff. Like, I went mad, for a while there, I went mad. I learned nearly every Pogue song, for a while, and just the fun, even just the stuff with the chords, the proper fun ones, and I suppose with everyone else and all that, and the other bands, what they were playing, I suppose you take note of what they're playing too. And
I tell you what I think that is, though. I know they're a kind of an Irish folk band, but I wouldn't class them as that. I class them as a punk band.
Definitely.
Irish folk stuff, you know, and doing it in a kind of a rough and loose style. What I like about them is a lot of them recordings weren't really in time.
No.
There were mistakes to be abandoned them, like.
Lord them.
But it was rocking. It was, you know. Do you know that when they came out, lads, the purest trad guys, real traddy aficionados, hated that, they hated these gang off in London playing the
it
stuff.
Was like. Vulgar and it was crude, kind of,
anything that comes out that's kind of groundbreaking is sneered upon by the elite, you know.
Sure, look, look how it lasted and how it stuck.
That's it, like Jimi Hendrix when he started playing the guitar. You can imagine some of the old jazz guitarists looking at it. They would have thought that was terrible, what's he doing?
And he came out of a show band, and so did Rory Gallagher, nice suits and clean, tidy haircuts. And
even the grunge stuff as well, sure, they were getting people what are these boys doing?
The reason that was as well, I think, the people say, is because if you think about it, the grunge came along in the 90s at the end of kind of glam rock. Rock had become spandexy and glittery and big fake hair and lipstick. And then the grunge lads turned up with,
don't go down that route, Andrew.
No.
We're not advising that.
We're not giving advice, but the grunge lads came along then with flannel t-shirts and jeans and holes in them, and they looked like they just got out of a van outside your gaff.
That's because they probably did, though.
They had kind of a sound that, like I said a while ago, you could make it yourself at home. You didn't cost a load of money to sound like Nirvana. You just had to turn up the volume.
And we've said this before, there'd be a crowd there looking at them going, he's wearing the same fucking t-shirt as I am. And he dressed the same.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on stage, I'm in the crowd. And that's when the good shows came around.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Loyal fans.
I want to just touch on something you said there a while ago. You mentioned Cycle Fly. Did you listen? For those listeners who don't know, they've been mentioned many times on the podcast before, a local band called Cycle Fly from down here that went all the way from playing in the parish hall to being number one on Kerrang and ending up on MTV and playing major festivals like the Warp Tour and Woodstock 99. Woodstock 99, the famous one that Limp Bizkit ruined. But did you listen to, I remember that first album, Generation Stap, and then there was a second album came out called Crave, right? Savage, right? It's amazing the knock-on effect of what you were just talking about, Cork, where a band in your local vicinity that you see at the shop or on the telly playing their own music, it spurs on you to kind of go, I could do that. If I don't do any homework, right? and I play and play and play and practice with my friends, there is a chance that you can get somewhere with it, because if you don't see that happening to someone in your area, you'd think it's
possible.
It's a fantasy. They're pulling these people out of academies for celebrities that they're making, and they're putting them on the telly. But when you see fellas that you know the family knows them, or you see them at the shop, they went all the way.
He's a litre of milk, and he's a fucking loaf of bread.
I remember Decky delivering the post with his dog grease and purple hair.
Yeah, after doing a gig the night before about the Savoy and Cork or something. Crazy, isn't it?
That's crazy.
I was a super fan as well. So I would have been unreal. Too young to go to the gigs that I went to at the time, I was that way that I couldn't believe that my dad knows them fellas. So I went, and they were blisteringly good,
Even Glenn Hansard up the Marquee, you were talking to him about.
We were on a
group. He remembered
John Michel was up there, and he was saying, do you remember me?
Goes,
and then he said the name Cycle Fly. He goes, oh yeah, geez, I'll never forget. Jerry's your man, the singer, he's Nutter. I'll never forget him. He's anything about him, like Nutter, like
Colin. Brilliant stage presence and eccentric kind of actions. And
from what I've seen, I wouldn't have known them, obviously not being from Cork, but what I've you know, yeah, after hearing you talking about them and looking them up.
So I was the same.
To think that they were down the road.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy, like.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly responsible for what we said when we first started the podcast about this being a kind of a hub down here, you know.
Definitely.
Of because a lot of people saw them doing it. So, you know, I'm going to have a crack off that. Yeah. I'll have this music carry on. Like.
Give it a go.
I remember seeing the video. There was a video you showed me in Las Vegas or somewhere. They're playing them.
Oh, what's
Better Than You.
Better Than You over in Vegas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I remember seeing that. I was like, gee, that's class. I'll do that. Like,
I seen them in Kildare, Punchestown, at the Ozfest. Ozzy Osbourne had a festival called the Ozfest, right? Yeah. And they were the first band on the main stage. And there was 40,000 at it or something like that, standing, like this one of these camping kind of festivals, like Oxygen or whatever that. And like, it was like Slayer, System of a Down, Tool, Cycle Fly from Upper Hadda, you know, like, you know, it was just wild, like, you know. Now, we're going to go over to Brian, Dad. We're going to talk to you a bit about, obviously, you'll take responsibility for this exceptional taste of music by playing Iron Maiden for them, right? Yeah. And that. But in fairness, I must say, you're one of the most supportive, you and Deirdre are the most supportive parents that I've seen with music. Like, outside of families like yourself, Cork, where your dad gigs actually with you playing on the stage, you might as well be gigging with
him. Yeah, yeah.
You might as well.
Yeah.
Drive, carry the gear.
There's an awful lot of driving involved.
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
You like that?
A lot. Yeah. For fuck's sake.
Don't work for that.
No, Brian, we said for your sake. For your sake.
There's a job going with the Hollies as well, I'd say.
A lot of driving. Actually, while I must tell a funny story about driving and Brian.
I don't know what you're going to fucking play now.
We were at a gig in Middleton and there was a fella playing, I forget who it was. Oh, it's Mickey Johart, right? And
he always mentions Mickey Johart.
He fucking loves him.
You know, I think I mentioned him once, like, leave it off. Right? We were there and I was about to go on with the Hollies and Mickey Joe was up in the Park Hotel. If you're listening, Mickey Joe, which you're not.
You never know.
And he needed to be collected, like, because he was going on later on today.
Yeah. Dot's not doing it, no.
No, I don't think he had the car in today, but
car was blocked in, I think.
Car was blocked in for 2 years.
Was it?
Yeah, three times. Three.
Probably parked it on the roof or something.
Brian just arrived. He'd already laid it off his son. I was just about to go on. I turned around the first bath and I said, it was Brian. I go, Brian, Mickey Joe Hart's above in the Park Hotel. I said, Brian had just ordered a pint, right? And he had seen the pint, like, you know.
That's hard.
I was about an hour late.
Yeah, he was stressed to get there. And I says, any chance you call up there from here? And his body screamed, no. And took off, like. But he went.
I went.
He's been cursing Mickey Joe Hart since. But the driving doesn't bother you. I mean, you have taken your son to major music venues in Ireland to play with major signed label acts. You've brought him to Shane McGowan's townhouse in Ballsbridge.
Where
he met Shane, the late Shane McGrath, Shane McGowan before he died, and you played a song for him. You were on stage with Glenn Hansard and the Frames in the Marquee. You've recently played Sea Church. Who was that with? You've done Sea Church a few times, haven't you?
I hopped up for a song with Paddy Casey.
Monday.
Supported Miles Gaffney down there as well. Oh,
yeah. Played with George Murphy.
George Murphy, not the Opera House.
Opera House. Yeah. Monday. I mean, they're big heroes. You're naming, like, you know. Yeah, I mean, I seen you one day being shared on the Smashing Pumpkins Instagram story. Smashing Pumpkins, like.
And how does this come about?
That's a small bit of management teamwork, I'd say.
Teamwork.
Sort of us all down to Victoria, wasn't it?
Victoria Clark.
Yeah, a legend. Such a legend.
You met Victoria the time that she... Would you want to tell the story, Brian?
I'll tell you a quick one. Basically, he did Ray Night in Soho and stuck up on his Instagram, wasn't it?
I put up Ray Night in Soho on Instagram. And, I woke up the next morning, like, woke up, whatever, and hopped on my phone. And I've seen Shane McGowan official start following me. I was like, what? I thought it was a joke. I went in and got a message. And I was off Victoria, off Shane's account, saying, would you like to come meet him? He loves your version of Red Night in Soho.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember you came home from
work. Sent me the address, the key code to get in, everything.
Yeah.
I'd like, how quick, Brian, was it from would message to go. What was it like? Come up
4 or 5 days.
Come up there on Friday, kind of job.
Yeah. What are you doing Friday? Come up, she said. So.
Mm-hmm. And this was months before Shane passed away.
April, it was.
Well, fair play to Victoria.
Yeah, that's sound. Lovely woman.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
Threw her in. Like, I remember I put up, just again, Instagram. I was posting my ad on Instagram there for a while. And I put up a Glenn song, Fitzcarraldo.
Yeah.
And I remember Victoria sent it to Glenn that time. Oh, and I just got a Glenn actually commented on it. And he goes, sounds great, whatever. Do you want to give it a go on the marquee?
And you thought he was joking?
No, well, I was up in the kitchen. They were up here, and I just started screaming. And they thought there was something wrong with me. Like, yeah, screaming.
Great.
First night, the marquee that went up for sound, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, that's great. Yeah.
And then he called us back to the dressing rooms after.
Yeah, and he said, will you come back tomorrow? That was what we did the other night then after as well with them as well. So
First Fitzcarraldo and Heyday, and then Ray Night Soho.
Heyday and Fitzcarraldo again the next night. Yeah.
There are fellas grafting for 40 years and they wouldn't get one of those opportunities.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have like 10 of them under your belt already and you're 15.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, so you've played St. Luke's, Opera House, Marquee, Sea Church.
Niall Max.
Yeah. Don't forget, Niall Max.
There are some venues like
Spratts.
Spratt Leo's, yeah. Shout out Leo, he's not
Shout
listening.
Shout out Leo, yeah.
I mean, what's involved behind the scenes, Brian, when your son is out like that? I mean, he's 15. You don't want to lay him out in his own potentially disastrous going away to venues like that, and you know, because it's a wild world. And it's nothing like a 9 to 5, going in, clocking in. You know, having your tea at 10. You know, going for golf maybe. And it's unpredictable and wild, and it's full of lunatics.
It is, and
it's not something you could leave Andrew off in. So
I go everywhere.
And the venues are contacting you.
But like, we know most of them, all the venues are grand that we go. Never any bother that way or anything.
And also, it's advice, Andrew, as well. You're kind of, you've got an extra kind of set of ears and eyes and an extra brain. I mean, that's invaluable, Cork, isn't it?
Oh, it's unreal. It's unreal. Like, but you wouldn't get it. Like, there's no schooling. There's no college.
I had no clue when I started.
The closest
you're learning as well. You're learning music industry.
But none of us have it. But we'd have been a bit
more.
But to have your dad investing in that and kind of supporting it and
learning it together, really, like just a thing, like
Mam as well, I suppose. Yeah, she'd be there too. Exactly.
We do Offaly once a month. No, that's brilliant. Yeah, Offaly, great crack.
Banner.
JJ
Hawks.
Oh man,
good venue.
Great spot.
Shout out to JJ Hawks. Yeah,
great spot.
Have you been there?
I was. I think the weekday we're playing there.
Yeah.
I was on holidays in Banner.
Oh yeah, we told
them. Would you believe that? I was staying in Airbnb and I'd gone down to Super Value.
Oh, right across the road.
Yeah. Right across the road, and I spotted this place.
I went in for a jar.
And she came out with a bag of mist.
Get into that car.
I was going here and meeting fella there, break a dog off him.
But as it happened, you go in and I'd say you know a place from the outside.
Yeah.
I says, if I go in there, won't be coming out. Imagine going in and seeing these two setting up the gear. Sure, it is. Still be there.
Says one of the oldest pubs in Ireland. It's just
what has to be.
It's a good venue.
Place to do music. This
seven
is
nights
small,
a week in the summer.
Yeah.
Smaller than
in the front bar and out the back in the beer garden, 7 nights a week.
This yeah. Banagher is there's nothing. There. It's nothing a Super there. Value yeah. across the road, and it's a small Super Value, and it's yeah. quiet country little place. Yeah.
Like. Two nice chippers as well.
yeah,
yeah. Two nice chippers.
It's getting, that's yeah. how it starts. Yeah. Now yeah. We'll have to contact Jamie Stanton about that. the chipper expert.
Can't pass a chipper the way one.
Yeah. No, will we do a song, Cork?
We will.
Andrew, we're going to ask you to do a song for us now, and I'm going to ask you to keep it in the theme of the interview. I want to ask you to play one of the something that maybe inspired you or that you learned early on, that, you know, maybe a song that something from your dad's CD collection, maybe not Iron Maiden. No, we nearly pulled it off with No Drums and the Telly. Have you anything from that?
Think about what there. We'll,
we'll
save this one. I don't know. Should we do Red Bull?
Right. How will we intro it? Just Andrew on his own, is it? And then you can come in with the lead line.
Or even if I could just kind of. If you start off in G, even just 1, 2, or even something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Do that in the counting, yeah.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the days. And I've cried for all your troubles. Smile at your funny little ways. Watched our friends grow up together, and we saw them as they fell. Some of them fell into heaven, and some of them fell into hell. Took shelter from a shower, and I stepped into your arms on a rainy night in Soho. The wind was whistling all its charms. Sang you all my sorrows, and you told me all your joys. And whatever happened to that old song? To all those little I'd wake up in the morning with a ginger lady by my bed. Covered in the cloak of silence, I'd hear you talking in my head. not singing for the future. And I'm not dreaming of the past. And I'm not talking of the first time. And I never think about the last. And now the song is nearly over. We may never find out what it means. Still there's a light I hold before me. And you're the measure of my dreams. You're the measure of my dream. You're the measure of my dreams.
Lovely,
wasn't
it?
Oh,
love that song.
That's
really nice. It's lovely.
Yeah. Nice chops, Quirk. It is no harm to leave the Quirk at us.
Lovely. That sounded lovely. So the Pogues, they're like you were listening to the Pogues from a young age.
Very, yeah, very young.
And then to get a message from Shane McGowan, like...
I'm still not over it even.
Come way up there and, you know...
Watching YouTube, Netflix with him, drinking tea, basically. Yeah. Yeah, playing a couple of songs, chatting.
What do you do?
You walk in, just go through it, like, you pull up...
Remember, hopped out the car, whatever, and Victoria came out, and...
She said he was actually nervous meeting us.
Yeah.
Ah, stop.
Yeah, and we went in anyway, and he was inside in the chair watching a movie, and he turned off the movie, started chatting away to us, even Amy and Deirdre are with us now, with my little sister, and he was chatting away to her and everything. He was there, did you like any Pogue songs and all this stuff?
He had a mad interest in everyone. He wanted to know what I worked at, and where I worked, what I did, what Deirdre did, Amy in school.
He was very interested,
different side of him.
He's such a nice fella, legend. We were watching him and Nick Cave on YouTube then. What were they singing? What a Wonderful World.
Wonderful World,
yeah.
He viewed life through a completely different lens.
Shane wasn't meant for this world.
He was programmed for a different world. He's asking now, he's looking for inspiration out of everything around him. Do you do now? And what do you like? He's looking for that thing to just set him off. Yeah. Trigger him, boom, and then he's gone. He's writing songs and being creative, and it just from
watching an awful lot of movies, I'd say. Just movies. Yeah.
I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright, blessed day, and the dark. Sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I'm sure it was his fuel, I'd say, to feed the brain that was just craving.
And Aidan Gillen used to call around and sit and watch movies. Fall asleep in his bat.
Johnny Depp, when he said when he called to him,
yeah.
Like their friends years, but he called and it just fucking Shane was in the pits of when he was drinking, like, but he said no matter how bad he was, fucking there was books everywhere. Everywhere, stacks of them. You could have to, you'd have to shove the door to get in. There'd be books.
Books.
Just trun around the place. He'd have them devoured, I'd say.
I've seen them a couple of times, like, powerful band of the Poles when they're all seven of them or eight of them are cracking away on the stage, like, you know.
An organism.
Would have been unreal, would have been unreal.
Serious band. So,
even his funeral.
Oh, you went to the funeral, let's, I was going to that. I'm going to ask you about that, Brian. You went to the funeral. You were invited, though,
Came back from Sea Church one night. I went to bed. And next he comes into the room. And,
it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
I thought it was Miles Gaffney ringing him. It was Glenn. I was like, fuck off, I got to sleep.
He was half asleep, like, and he thought I said Miles Gaffney was ringing me.
It was the night. Actually, Glenn Hansard was on the Late Late Show. It was the day after, a tribute. It was after Shane died, Friday night. And Glenn came home from Late Late Show, rang Andrew. Andrew was making a cup of tea in our kitchen, and Glenn was above making a cup of tea in his kitchen. So he just said that Victoria wanted him to come to the funeral. And he's at
that was some experience. Something off.
Like, Fletchers and Johnny Depp and all these bands and
Primal Scream. All
Primal Scream were there.
They were. Then you realise that till after though. Bobby was in there. Bobby Gilt.
All
Gilt
that band Cronin,
great band.
I was playing with them inside. She's there.
Sharon Shannon.
Sharon was there.
She was wearing eggs actually.
She's little.
Class.
It was a class. It was just all night. Everyone was just going up singing all his songs. Like,
but Glenn actually came out, got us when we walked in. He says, went through this little pub and he says, come back here. And we opened the
Philly
doors.
Ryan's, I'd say.
No, it was out in Ballycommon.
Ballycommon,
But he says, follow me. And we walked through these little areas of the bar and into this back room. And when we walked in, it was just Spider was singing, wasn't he?
He wasn't singing. Was the door swung open and Spider was just standing there.
But they were playing and it was just mental. Absolutely mental.
Yeah, he went up in there.
While we're mentioning him, I just think the time the Chain got ousted from the Pogues and started the Popes, Spider sang some of the stuff, you know. There's a song called Tuesday Morning.
Tuesday Morning, he sang that.
He sang that, brilliant, lads. He's very
Spider brilliant. Stuff is out of this world. It was obviously overshadowed by Shane's, you know, personality and charisma and stuff like that. I Love You Till the End is another one from the movie.
That's a good one,
I forgot the name of the movie now. It was in some kind of Irish American kind of thing. But I mean, the Spider stuff is.
Well, sure, he was the back.
He was driving it, like, wasn't he?
That was unbelievable. Like, you, Glenn answered Imelda May. Who else was there that night? Mundy, all up just singing.
Everyone really.
What you do, Sally McLennan, isn't it?
Sally McLennan, yeah.
Who played Sally McLennan with you?
Cronin and Sharon Shannon. And
Sharon played the.
Yeah. Mental.
Many people who can say that, no, like, you know.
Mental.
Savage. You didn't meet that bass player. Is it Cato Riordan? Is that
she was there?
Yeah, she was there.
She's incredible human being.
The song she sings, "A Man You Don't Meet Every Day."
Yeah, the man you don't meet every day.
Yeah.
She sang it.
Yeah, she done that
at home. Yeah,
class song. Yeah,
that's brilliant.
The priest that married us. I think I was saying that the Father Larkin. He had the long hair.
Oh, you were telling
me
that before.
He was at it.
Yeah, he was. He'd only moved to that parish.
Oh, go where?
He was only moved from Roscrea to that parish that Shane is from, and. Yeah, he was on Sky. Sky News. Next thing I seen Larkin walking over.
What?
But the funniest thing was, he was singing Sally McLennan's. I looked down. Here's Glenn Hansard standing on a stool with a glass of whiskey, pumping the air. Unbelievable.
Thing is, that must have been a straight. Although it's funeral is a somber event, but it wasn't that somber when they're all dancing in the aisles. But for the people of Nina, County Tipperary. A sleepy town, kind of like a lot happening there.
It's a big enough town, but it wouldn't be a big enough town
now for Johnny Depp and all these fellas to fly in for a funeral and they're all drinking up there, and like, you know, like, and then all these musicians playing in the pub, like the local pub. It's like, you can imagine now, like, yeah. walking into, you know, the Maple in Middleton, Tony Deptron in the corner. Yeah. There was a funeral on. Yeah. Testament to the man. You've recorded and released a original and a cover so far.
I have, yeah, I have.
We've recorded the song that you debuted on the Prendeville show, This Place.
Yeah.
That's your own song, your first pin song yourself, and you've released a version of Skylarking, haven't you?
Yeah, Mick Christopher, yeah.
Mick Christopher song.
Mick Christopher, yeah.
And we've known Mike Carey tonight. Shout out, Mike, he's a big Mick Christopher
yeah.
fan.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Unbelievable, Mick Rob, yeah, he's unbelievable.
So... You've released him, and that is kind of, I mean, you're exploring your first release, your first written song. It's kind of down the lines of the Irish singer-songwriter style,
yeah,
not too unlike Glenn Hansard and Mundy and Paddy Casey and the fellas you met.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
got into that side of things, as well as the Pogue stuff that you started on. It started drifting into the real singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah, and it did, like, because... Geez, I remember even there only recently I got a record player just for the laugh.
The vinyl player, yeah.
The vinyl
class.
Player, yeah.
yeah.
And like I've Mundy's albums and stuff, and I'm gone mad. And even just the small little things like
yeah.
guitar riffs and all that.
Production on it,
production,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Like I'm just a few other ones. The Pale. Did you ever listen to them?
The Pale. Yeah, do you like them? Yeah,
I love the Pale. Yeah, I love the Pale.
Well, Harry mentioned them on the podcast before the Pale. They did a famous Late Late Show.
Your kindred spirits had the two.
He's got Mike Carey is right up the street with their taste of music, isn't it?
Yeah,
they follow you on Instagram. They've played one of your songs. They heard one of your songs.
The Pale, yeah.
And your recordings, where do you record?
Down in Claycastle.
Robert Warren.
No, Owen. Owen Hayes.
Owen Hayes, yeah. He's in a metal band called Screams from the Attic.
That's him.
Cool.
I sure I know.
You know, he's in with everyone.
You're all the bass players.
No, I met him one time.
Yeah.
I did, and I was really impressed by him too. And I went home and I looked up Screams from the Attic.
You're a legend.
I bought a t-shirt. I did, yeah. I have it at home, yeah.
He played bass on them songs as well, actually.
He played bass player, yeah.
Bass and keys.
On your songs.
Yeah.
And so the keys.
Bass
well,
and keys, and you did everything else.
You'd done the lead, well, guitar,
the
lead
guitar, guitar, acoustic guitar, vocals. Harmonising with yourself, doing all the
mm-hmm.
backing vocals yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got him in for what you needed. You won't need him to do bass next time you go down because you'll have to bring this fine instrument to
oh, yeah,
the actually, I was thinking you might pack up the rest of them and just play bass because it's best to never. Mike isn't here. You might know this listeners. So I can say what I want about bass. But down at Claycastle, super studio for any of our listeners, our musician listeners who are looking for a place to record in East Cork. Don't look past Claycastle Recording Studios and y'all. I'm not getting paid to say this.
It's a massive setup.
It's a good setup. You know, we've got a few good ones down here. We're spoiled. We have Whitewell Studios and Whitegate, and we've got Monique Studios run by Christian Besteri. And you know,
oh yes,
we have fantastic guys around the place. So any of them, give them a shout. But yeah, Claycastle, the honourable mention there.
They've comfy couches as well.
They've comfy couches, and they've got coffee in bed.
Yeah.
There's a bar across the road as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
well, could you go this around? Is handy. Yeah.
What kind of biscuits did they have?
I got no chicken roll the last day. What? So, you know, I got a chicken roll.
They're spoiled. Yeah. That's what you get now when you play with Glenn Hansel.
And they've a little cubby there for making tea in the whole.
They do. They do.
They've all the gear.
They've all the gear, sure. And what I was going to say, I don't want to put you on the spot now, but the song that you released, This Place, would you give us a blast for us?
Would you want to fall in with it?
Well, absolutely. I will anyway, we'll leave the other fellow. Now, okay, listen, we had the recording stopped there for a moment, and this is especially for Mike Carey is listening back on this, who couldn't be here now. Andrew bought a bass, and he's just asked, kind of just said there that he doesn't.
It's a PJ.
And worked out the pickup configuration and the tone and volume knob, so brace yourself, folks. It's bass information time. So, Mike, turn this on. What this bass has is a precision pickup and a jazz pickup, listeners. Yeah, if you haven't gone away to make a cup of tea now yet, right? These two knobs, this knob controls the volume of that pickup, and this controls that. There's no blend. Unlike a jazz bass, which has a blend that you can blend the two pickups, there's a volume for this one, and a volume for this one, and an overall tone knob. So this turned all the way, boosts your top. It's your trebly most, and this on your way back is your most bassy. And then if you turn up this one, you'll only get the jazz. That'll give you a mid-range kind of spanky funky jazz, funky, like, yeah. Spanky, toppy kind of a tone. And this one on its own will give you the pitch, the classic Fender P bass tone. Right? And when you, what you do is you turn them both up as much as you need for that sweet spot. Might be about there. Oh, how's it going? Didn't know you were watching there, Mike. There you go. So that's
Kerry
the bass.
Is not watching.
No, he turned it off 45 seconds ago. Okay, but that's it anyway. We can cut that out, nice, and chop bass, it up, and make, yeah, it, make it just a segment out of it. Bass talk. That's Andrew's new bass that he's let me hold. I would say play, but yeah. What? Anyway, back to the song. What chords have we?
So happy in so many ways. And
glad.
Sweet jam.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. No.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard it all together with bass, electric.
I know, yeah.
And drum and percussion.
Wink.
Percussion that we do live. Put in after by Quark at Home.
I'll flute around.
I fucked that one up, did I?
No.
I think if whoever listens now and is listening,
they don't mind.
They know.
Yeah. Corky, unfortunately.
Although Henny's kind of had. Henny does be. Sorry, Henny, I'm stopping you. Every time we do a podcast. This mightn't stay in, but it might, actually. Every time I go home and I have a listen to it and I go, I have to put drums on, I have to put a percussion on that. So I do it.
Yeah.
And I do the whole thing. And it takes maybe 2 or 3 days to get through an hour of stuff. Or an hour and a half.
A lot of work on it.
Fixing mistakios.
No. Listen,
Did you ever take out the bass?
I send it back and it.
Do you take out the bass?
Yeah.
Prepare yourself, dude.
Yeah. I honestly think I have the time to fix all.
Every single week I listen to myself back and go, jeez.
Does he's not? Yeah.
I think he just turns it down. Does he?
He precautions against himself. He doesn't like what I do. He's a bass player, and he can't be happy.
I just record the whole thing.
He does the vocals and everything. Doesn't matter who was singing. It could be Jimmy Crowley in it. He's got all the recorded vocal. Look at him.
Yeah. I know. Well,
that's nice a great song. Lovely song.
Really nice song.
Sound.
Did that on the Prendeville show? So he did.
Yeah.
Up with Neil. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. And you play that at gigs?
I wouldn't now unless, jeez.
They were looking for it locally.
Recently there, a few young boys, jeez, I played it. Played it on mental. It was mad.
Skylarkin.
So, even it's great, actually, like Skylarkin, since I brought it out, the cover, like, there's a lot of the young people, like, they're, even my age, like, they're gone mad for it. Which is great, like, keeping that music going.
That's great. That's fantastic. Even if you get a lot of young people listening to guitar music.
Yeah, but even a lot of my friends, though, like, they're all gone mad in the Christopher because of that, like. Which I think is great. Like, I love that. Like,
is guitar music, guitar driven music, like, so in your time, which would be not long before my time, and Corky's time, but long before your time.
Yeah, Jesus.
Guitar music was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Guns N' Roses, it was Def Leppard, it was Iron Maiden, it was this in the charts, like. Mm. You put on the charts and the top 30, 25 of them were guitar driven. Whether it was grunge now in the Nirvana thing or if it was.
Male or female?
Mm. Yeah, Alanis Morissette. When you just smashing punk as Alanis Morissette, right? All of that. Mm-hmm.
You'd number ones with harmonica in them.
What happened, you mentioned that. Like, even Shania Twain, she'd number one, there'd be an electric guitar, there'd be a guitar solo in it, like. You know? Happened in was the kind of the hip hop stuff and electronic stuff started to take hold. But even in our time, we had the end of it, like, you know.
Yeah.
The Oasis stuff.
I hate it.
The electronic stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we embrace that? But your age group now. What are your age? Are they listening? Like, let's say if you hadn't shown them me, Christopher, what would they be showing you?
Oh, jeez. Let's just hip-hop say. Stuff, if I was told, let's say I got given the speaker somewhere, I'd be given out that because I'd turn that off.
What do they want to hear? Hip-hop.
What do they want to hear?
They want the techno stuff.
All that crack and the rap, all the London,
grime music. Is that cool with the youngsters? If you put that in a party when I was, boot out the door and taxi home from Carrigool on your own. That's what you get.
Depends where you go though. You get on West Cork or always ask for tumbling paddies.
I spoke to a guy who's in a Irish rock band, and they're one of the big ones, right? And rock music has been his income his entire life. He's in his 50s now. I said, how are you getting on? He says, we're fighting a losing battle against the waistcoats and the paddy hats. He said, we're fighting a losing battle.
That's a really good way of putting it.
And we said, we're fighting a losing battle because whatever about losing out to the hip hop stuff and them into this and going to music festivals to hear dance and hip hop. These guys are coming out of the woodwork with, and they're like, recording stuff for cheap and they're yeah. setting it up and they're filling country halls and parish halls. Spend the weekend over drinking, Mondays overthinking, will I find a better plan? Will I try my best and I'll die trying? It's just the way I am. But it's still guitar music, it's still live music, yeah. so I get and it, yeah, I appreciate
you
it.
You have to be good musicians at the end of the day.
You have to be good, and yeah. and that's their thing, and I wouldn't knock anyone else's yeah. thing if that's what they're into. It's just such a change of scenery. Like.
But the weekend that's gone as well, like Paddy's Weekend, it's yeah. just like...
Well, we find it with the Hollies, like, that like there was a time when a band like that would be what... Everyone was looking for. We know now it's not like, we know it's niche. We know that rock music well, is every, a minority like, thing. Like it's
I suppose, Brian, you'd remember, like, do you know, going to weddings. I remember going to being brought to the odd wedding when as a child, yeah, yeah, as a young child, like 10, 9 or 10 maybe. The band would have been a 3 or 4 piece band.
Oh, yeah.
Your rock
was,
band.
There was no stage.
Yeah,
probably.
On the floor, yeah.
It was in a room, big room, and it was a rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With big old speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get singers up, whereas now it's a wedding band is playing
country.
You nearly know what
the 30 songs
yeah, the famous 30. Like.
Yeah, there's a bit of Irish and there's...
Yeah, a little bit for everyone.
And
yeah.
there's never a string broken. Jesus, in the, back in the day there was strings. Fuck, yeah.
Jeez, that would be nice, not breaking strings.
yeah. But now you don't see many, the big bands, they don't break strings. Like they're not, you know, they're too... polished and it's a very much that's the way it's kind of gone.
Learn the
and
songs
it,
by
and it works. That's it works what, like that's what that. Weddings want.
Yeah. You see, they've cracked the formula for a wedding band, the inoffensive wedding band that'll have a good night. You will have a good night with them. You're buying a service, the service being a full dance floor.
Yeah.
You're just buying something that fulfills that service.
You want they're entertainment. Yeah.
I good. Don't like I want at least 2 of the 4 members of the band. Langers. You know, I want one of them to be late.
Proper rock and
roll. I want them to go to a wrong venue and fall into that.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm obviously a minority. Nobody wants that at their wedding. But,
no.
So the wedding band thing is gone. It's lost the creativity thing. It's not about creativity. One particular wedding band, kind of one of the big names in the wedding band circuit down here, said to us one night, he said, you know, we're not in the industry of making hits, like, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Industry of making money.
They're working.
It's the same as working in a shop or doing anything like that. I would advise putting that off if I was to give any, I came down here thinking, go out, give any advice, but I kind of think in front of my age I'd be looking at, like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, I went quirky there looking to, you know, do a bit of early retirement or something like that, you know. Buy an old suit and start playing, you know. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. Loads of my buddies do it. And the Hollies do weddings. Now we do kind of when they're looking for a rock band for the wedding, which is rare. Like if we get a random couple bringing us up at the wedding, we'll turn it down unless, you know.
Would you play your own set at that then? Or
no, we have a wedding e-set, we call it. And then we allow the couple to kind of drive how much of a percentage, how hard they want it to go.
Get it know? From them, like, yeah.
Right from them, and then we
give get, them what they want.
We give them a kind of a rundown of what we do, and if they haven't seen us before and they're just looking for a generic wedding band, we pass it on because we won't. Should we be up there doing ACDC and Rory Gallagher at your wedding? You know, but we have a set of waltzes, like. We have a set of, you know,
ACDC versions.
We do that at the end of the night, like, but we
the bass turned up
to 11. I don't know. It's just do anything. The whole pile of type of thing that you're doing there now, writing songs and falling in with gang and playing with new players and just soaking in all that world. That's the dream, like.
Oh, it's savage, like. Yeah.
I was playing with all the Frames that time. Jesus, there was so good musicians. Like,
yes.
Glenn Hansard has an Oscar, like. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. But what do you take from doing that? Like, have you learned anything from getting up on stage and the big stage and monitors and sound and?
I suppose enjoy it. Like yesterday, I remember going out to see the first night. I remember going out and I remember walking out, was on the side stage, about to go out, and the stage technician, Mick Geherty, his name is, he's a legend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mick Geherty, yeah.
Mick and Simon were Simon Gordon. Mick,
yeah, but I remember he says, just go out and enjoy it anyway. And I said, yeah, so he put me in the good mindset. So I went out anyway and I was happy out, whatever. And we were only supposed to actually doing Fitzcarraldo and I was done that. I said, geez, that was class. I was happy to go. And Glenn said, you know, hey there.
Yeah.
Jesus,
tell
yeah.
him what you said.
I said, yeah, fucking right I do. And, yeah, sorry, man. I know. But,
beep.
Yeah. But then I remember just thinking that, enjoy it. And then I got told the second night again, when I only found out after I was coming back the second night, I just said, enjoy that even more now if I can. But
well, Glenn had been talking to Victoria and she said to him how he done Ray 9 Soho for mm-hmm. Shane, so they done that then.
We did that in the Marquee the second night. And then the other two again, yeah.
And would you have kind of gone, right, the second night, so you're kind of going, right, I had the cap on a bit high there, or was there, is there anything you actually kind of went, I wonder now if I did this a bit differently, or is it just they all went well every time you went up on stage?
In fairness, the lads, the 2 days we did sound check and we went through it all and we made sure everyone was happy with everything. Like they were very good to me.
That's
like
invaluable.
Yeah,
you invaluable can't. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It was just.
I was just wondering. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Were you kind of
I
prepped?
Mm-hmm. Tell you this now for nothing. 15-year-old Owen Hennessy would have played it out of key. Fucking 38-year-old Owen Hennessy would have played it out of time, right? I would have gone up to the wrong side of the stage. I would have walked to the wrong area. I would have stood in front of the wrong monitor, and I would have probably been at the wrong gig. Right? And that's a fact.
Oh,
to keep even that kind of,
he
also not stress you out that you weren't a bag of nerves, that they were able to bring you in and kind of make you feel comfortable enough. Because up in a crowd like that, when the big monitor, then, you know, like the lights.
Mm. I'm trying to think what I'd do when I was 15. I'd like lose my knickers. I'd be in
but I he did that when he gave me the guitar.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, he gave you that guitar, this guitar you're playing now. You must get a picture of that for the social story.
I started crying like a big baby up on the stage and he gave it to me.
He gave it to you.
Yeah, it was at the end, like, we're all went up for the bow and I was just standing there.
He ran off.
All the lads. Oh, yeah. And
was that one in once the movie? Was
no, jeez, no. It was I don't know too much about it, but it's a 88 Ian 10 Takamine. And
he was playing it that night.
He was playing it. I know,
he was using it for the actual.
Yeah. I was actually playing this.
So he was still actively using it live for gigs and just gave it to you.
Two of them there that night, not.
Yeah.
So those marks, the marks here done by the scratch. That's
I did that in the way in.
I give it norm scratch.
Yeah.
They're Glenn's.
Some of them be mine, some of them be his. It was a few. I put the pick card on alright because it was fairly, there was starting to be a good bit of wear.
He puts a hole in them, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
The strumming pattern.
The horse.
Yeah, he two of them.
So we call that the pony.
Actually, I was raging. I only figured out a few months ago. We've been calling this the pony. I only figured out he has one called the pony.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one. I was raging.
That can be the pie ball.
Pie ball, yeah.
Good way actually to describe what you were saying and about how I'm nervous. I was actually, do you ever, do you know Interference? Did you ever hear them?
Yeah, class. Ferguson.
What an unbelievable band. But I was watching a thing about him recently, and he was just saying it was
Fergus,
his dad, Fergus O'Farrell.
That's
Breakout, I think it's called. But he was over in New York, and he was with his father. I thought, "You're not nervous? Like, it's just playing Radio City, is it?"
Yeah, Radio City.
And he said, "No, because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'd be more nervous now.
Yeah,
if I'm playing to 10 people, because that's I don't want to be doing that. This is what I should be
this
doing.
Is what
just,
he wanted to do.
That's I just thought that was a good way.
He's unbelievable.
If anyone is familiar with Interference, the band, I'd recommend checking out their Other Voices performance, where they did songs like America.
That's my favourite one, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Interference.
Russian farmland and the sword of Islam. The state of New Israel remembers Belsen. Now there's sand for Palestine and grass for Israel. Won't you settle down? Stop fighting for your gods. They can't hear you now. Now with the noise of your guns, oh, settle down. Stop fighting for your gods. They can't hear you now. Now with the noise of your guns. Once were towering steeples.
Savage band, yeah. And I think Glenn has a little bond for making a documentary.
He was. He plays with them, he plays the band.
Yeah, he grew up looking at them. They were his band that used to play locally that he used to see that were incredible.
Incredible, like, But his whole story and everything for some man, unreal.
What's it on, Netflix?
YouTube, I think it was.
Any Glenn Hansard songs? You play a Glenn Hansard song on his on a Glenn Hansard guitar?
What one move?
We're putting you on the spot now.
We're on the spot, Joe.
What do we reckon? We could try.
Or even a Frames, a Frames one.
Mm-hmm. Frames, yeah. What's that fake?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were playing fake.
Can you do four fake? Can you do that?
I can't. Yeah, I can do that, alright.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's a lot of chords in there. Run through them there again that you did.
The main bit, it's.
Yeah, sure, we'll do this. Let me take an old break, an old smoke. Dad is fucking. Brian is
dying there.
The shakes are kicking in. Right, this is a Glenn Hansard frame song on a Glenn Hansard guitar.
Class.
Now.
1, 2, 3.
You're telling me I should forget you, why? You're talking like I never knew you, but that's a lie. And you're playing out your game again. Why are you never on my side? And you're telling me I should forget you. Come on, the guy's a fake. What do you love him for? And it was my mistake, just kicking in his door. And if it's just a game, what are we crying for? Telling me I will.
should expect to, but you'll never know. Oh. And he's left you in the rain again, and you were always on my mind, and you're telling me I should forget you. What do you love him for? And it was my mistake, just kicking in his door. And if it's just a game, what are we crying for? Kicking in his door. And if it's just a game, what are we crying for? Hey.
Some tune, lads.
Oh, stop.
I'm getting a bit shaky.
Sorry, Dad, no. Savage song, lads.
Ring up Warren down to Claycastle. I'll get one here and see if we do an old session.
Do you want to take a break and we'll stick on the kettle maybe perfect. Once more? And we do you want to keep you too late either?
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, we'll do one more tune and a cup of tea, so.
My favourites, class, I love that.
Class. Lovely versions, inversions and variants and chord variants in it.
Yeah.
Open strings in the middle of them.
Can't do it there. Do it again.
Stay,
Instead, guy, when you started that, just press the red yeah. button there and stay going, lad.
I thought you were nice. Farting or something.
Yeah, there's a weird change in the middle of it.
Yeah, so in the middle of the A, yeah, when it stays on the A.
Yeah.
Yellow lead better, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, oh, class tune.
So what's next, lads? What's next? What's the plan?
I don't know.
You've another couple of songs wrote, haven't you? Just
I must go record now a bit more.
You like the process of recording?
I do. It was good crack to last one. Like, I went in and hadn't a clue.
You learned
like,
a lot.
I hadn't a clue what I was doing. Like, I hadn't even never played the click track until then. Like,
I
hadn't a clue and just went in. In fairness, Owen.
Brilliant. He's brilliant.
Yeah,
he was absolutely
in, like,
brilliant.
And he was he was so enthusiastic about doing it all.
Yeah.
Like, we were wrecked. Like, it was the day. It was the night. It was the night after Sea Church. I was in there, or the morning after, and like I'd say I got maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep that night because. Yeah. Down to the studio in the morning, and Jesus, like I was wrecked. And then first, Owen brought the spirits up. I was tired, but he was very enthusiastic.
I fell asleep in the couch.
Handy,
yeah. Two of us were inside sitting down, and he was conked in the couch.
I woke up, they're just finished, and Owen goes, "That sounds good." I says, "I don't know, I'm fucking sick of listening to you."
Yeah, yeah. This stuff is hard,
yeah.
But you were probably going back to the studio there and not having a clue. He was probably a breath of fresh air to the boys in the studio because no kind of, you know, kind of your own opinion on sound or, you kind of went in just saying, lads, help me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'll learn and tell me what I do.
I'll do what I'm told and just, you know, like, not that you know, you're kind of, you'd bow down to being doing what you're told, but you just haven't done it before. Like, you've no idea.
Yeah.
All you have is a song, and you know you want to record it.
And you're going in there with no experience, fair enough, but that means you're going in there with no ego, no preconceived opinions, and no expert knowledge that you think you have that you're going in telling the engineer. No, I like it, but you should scoop the mids.
Literally walk in and sit them. We're be honest, I haven't a clue what I'm doing.
Do you know now when you hit that cymbal, there's a bit of a ring there. Mic placement. But like,
I wonder how much of being a recording engineer is talking.
I'm just maybe thinking from their point of view, and you coming in with a song and playing it for them, and then going, "Yeah, we can do a good job on this."
Yeah,
and we can mold him to what to suit us. And
oh, he did. He was just fairness, so enthusiastic. Yeah.
And in the meantime, then Andrew's learning. Then
exactly.
So even if nobody listens to the recording, you've spent the time down there learning.
First, only some job in the songs he did.
Jump out of the speakers, like
exactly. Yeah, but even like there was bits. Remember, he sent me back a bit of Skylark, and there was a bit of reverb, like the voice echoes. Jeez, like it's classic.
Perfect. Yeah.
It was, and I would never thought of doing that to it, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd never thought of doing something like that to it. To make some difference.
Yeah.
He definitely points you in the right direction, didn't he?
Oh, definitely.
Rebel Recordings, lads.
Yeah, check and Owen, lads.
With the comfy couches.
Yeah, the comfy couches
and the spare across the way.
Yeah.
Job.
The Greyhound Stadium down the road. I've got a couple of dogs on a Friday night at 8:02. Now, what is involved in the management and logistics of a 15-year-old solo musician in East Cork from a father's point of view?
A lot of changing strings.
Answering the phones. Answering the phones, yeah. Trying to keep everyone happy.
Impossible task.
Loading the car, heading off, getting back late, stopping at Chippers.
Listen to me giving out to my stamp boxes late enough. Yeah.
So who does the sound? Sorry, cutting
I try
in.
It.
Do more
try it.
But like that piano, like literally,
I'm half deaf as well, so it doesn't help.
We're showing like literally, we've in the first input mic, second input guitar, and the volume. You know, yeah. That literally simple. Like,
yeah.
The more options you give yourself, the more things go on.
Exactly. I must get a desk now soon. But I'm half scared.
I mean, how about 3 to 4 channels? Like,
oh yeah, that's all I need. That's all I need.
Even that though, that system you have is very good.
Have you had any kind of mishaps at pubs where there's just you forgot something or you know?
Just tell him, actually, we were playing there. I was playing a gig one night.
Jesus Christ, and, that was my fault. No, not
it's
yours.
It's a tower play, system. Like, yeah, we did half the gig without the top even plugged in.
Yeah,
with the cable wasn't even in it.
But oh yeah, that was a quiet night.
I bet you no one noticed.
I hadn't a clue. He just said to me, he goes, come here, the thing is not plugged in. I said, what do you mean?
We did a place, I'm not going to say where it was because people know the gig. We did a gig one time, there was about 600 people at it, right? And Dan realised after it that it was only the monitors on. We were rocking away up on the stage. The front of the house wasn't on at all. So we were the only people who could hear it. Well,
you were the only ones enjoying the gig.
No one seemed to know.
Go away.
I would have noticed, but we had the monitors turned up pretty good.
Goes to show how loud they are. Like,
when you're gigging though, like, you're definitely getting your head way more. Need to be like, let's say, that bum, no one's going to notice. Like, it's your, and it would drive you mad. Like, there'll be some nights there, I'm like, I forgot a word to a song. I'm like,
and it's annoying.
No one had a clue, the only person that's bothering is you. Exactly, yeah.
That's good though.
It
should bother you.
Do you know when there's something like, don't have my strap that I always wear.
Yeah.
And I'm up, like, trying to do the gig and I'm not enjoying the gig because I don't have the strap that I've been using for 10 years.
Like, I felt bad for that gig I did in the Crane Lane and Joe.
Forgot his bass. It was a
glitchy battery on the night and
tried
fixing it and he had to play a bass.
Thing is all spiky, a heavy metal bass. Which is grand, thank God your man gave it to him to save him. But
yeah. But he was looking forward to the guy. I know he was, like, to play his own.
You actually gave me great knowledge, Dave, one night. The battery was gone in that.
Oh, well, Dots, remember, the battery
I didn't even
notice
the battery in it.
Was it
Dots' guitar?
No, his guitar.
It was at Dots' birthday party, and Andrew was playing.
But myself and Roger were playing, and Dave went up, and he goes, she's playing, the battery gone. I said, what? I had no clue. Like,
I didn't even know the battery's inside that, yo.
And when it doesn't have it, it's not full, you're not getting the full range of sound.
It'll sound kind of
you have to turn it up all the way and it sounds
but it even goes gritty so it's not getting the power, it's not sending the signal properly. And the other thing is what you're doing there now, and you're obviously at a gig, but you know when you take a break or you might plug it out because it'll drain away the battery.
You were going to do one, Cork.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm surrounded by talent here beside me. I'm sitting on the same couch, but yeah.
Well, lads, it's been our first mobile podcast recording, and it's good to be back doing interviews again. And thanks a lot to the Fletcher family for having us. We've been giving.
Thank you.
Cheers for coming.
Just for Mike Carey, because he's going to want to know what it was. Purple snacks.
Queen cakes, flapjacks, chocolate on them, biscuits, and chocolate biscuits, and tea. Double chocolate,
the best of spread. Come on, Ahada.
No messing around here.
Up ahead.
Come on, Ahada.
White gate.
Sorry,
there's a difference, lads.
Lads, thanks a million.
Thanks
for having us. And it's been, we had a great fun, a great jam. And we're going to finish out with this when you're, the two boys are going to do one together.
Clouds are swift, rain won't lift, gates won't close, and railings froze. Get your mind off the winter time. gun that shoots tailgates and substitutes. Strap yourself to a tree with roots, 'cause you ain't going nowhere, my lord. I said, ooh-wee, ride me high, tomorrow's the day that my bride's gonna come. Oh, 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 are we gonna fly down into the easy chair?
As usual, lads, thanks for listening. And if you have anything you'd like to hear on the podcast, anything you'd like us to talk about, if you'd like to come and have a chat with us on the podcast, tell us, and we'd like to know, because we don't know how many people's listening, because we don't look at the insights, we'd say, of the numbers.
No, I'd say we've Whitegate taken over now.
We're after moving from Middleton to Whitegate, so we've got a footing in Whitegate.
Yeah.
And lads, for those of you who haven't already, check out Andrew Fletcher. Check him out on Spotify.
Yeah.
Check him out on
Instagram, Facebook,
Apple Music,
TikTok even now.
TikTok. Done deal.
Adverts the lot.
Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace, everything.
Yeah. And thanks for having us, lads.
No, cheers.
And
for
if there's anyone selling any PAs, I'd say we've buyers on.
No. Enough stuff.
Lads, thanks for having us.
No, geez.
Thanks,
that,
lads.
Really
for
good.
Like,
and thanks for the songs and the stories.
No, she's not bad at all.
Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Great, thanks for coming.
We'll see you out in the pubs.
Definitely.
Venues.
Good luck, lads.
Cheers.
Thanks a million.
Ah, that was great.
Hey there, thanks for tuning in to this episode of It's All Music Podcast with Kerry, Henny and Quirky. Produced by me, Dave Quirk. Executive produced by me, Dave Quirk. Theme music by me, Dave Quirk. Incidental music by me, Dave Quirk. Talent booking by Owen Hennessy. Tea making and venue setup, Mike Carey. Yep, we're doing all this ourselves. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Email us at itsallmusicpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to It's All Music Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been a Dave Quirk production in association with ACAST.
Hey there, and thanks for listening to the It's All Music podcast with Carey, Henny and Quirky. We're blown away by your support. The It's All Music podcast is a completely independent, self-finance venture. If you enjoy what we're doing and you enjoy listening, you can support us by heading over to our Patreon page and subscribing for €3 a month. If you don't have €3 a month, don't stress. You can still listen to the podcast. And you can support us by sharing our content on your social media pages.